Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with me as always is Koosh.
Hello, everybody.
So it's been another 2 weeks. The holidays are upon us. Mirth and happy times are in the air. Bah fucking humbug.
All right. Unless you're a Jew, then the holidays have been over for like a week or something. And if you celebrate if Kwanzaa or all that, I don't. Who cares? Happy holidays. Regardless, you don't have to work on Tuesday.
Some of us do.
Well, yeah, because you work at a hospital.
Spoilers, jeez. People may not know that.
I think everybody knows that.
So yeah, that's my one holiday to work this year is Christmas. But whatever. Next, the week after on New Year's, I'll have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So that'll be cool.
I don't know why those are holidays.
Shut up. I want to be off on them.
I've never understood that.
So, alrighty. Anyway, let's get down to what we've been playing. And we've been playing a little Ace of Spades. And
I hate the name of this game. I need to get that off my chest right away. I hate that.
It makes no sense. It also makes me
it makes me think of the song. That Motorhead song. The Ace of Spades. Or however the hell it goes. Every time I see the name of that game, I'm like, oh, where's that song? Is that song in the game? It's not.
So basically, they took the ideas behind Minecraft, sort of, and a first-person shooter, and combined the two to make a little game. I hate computer games, especially first-person shooters on a computer. So I'm not having the greatest time with it. But I kind of want to get your opinion on it, because I think you've played a little bit more than I have.
It's okay so far. I have an issue that, I don't know if I really paid attention to much of the screenshots, but I think the character models look worse than I expected. The game world looks fine, but the character models look a little bit cheapish. It's very just sort of basic so far. I mean, there's nothing that's been out of the ordinary. I mean, they have the Minecraft functionality of being able to, like, dig and mine and all that stuff. But it's not too complicated so far. And, like, each class, you get, like, these different constructs you can build, like a fort or a little, like, bunker or a whatever, like a little fence type thing. And I don't find those to be that useful because they're, you know, the color of your team, blue or green, and they just stick out so everyone knows that, oh, that's one of those things. And they also pop up on the map. So what I've used them for is as a distraction, sort of. I put them there, and then, you know, somebody will come in there and look for someone, and then I can, you know, get them. Because you can create your own little bunker thing out of the actual environment that's a lot more discreet. I did kind of enjoy the zombie mode, which is just the traditional thing where there's a team of zombies, and there's a team of regular people, and you don't want to die because then you get turned into a zombie, and you're just trying to survive. Because you can... You can move pretty fast as a zombie. You just sprint like crazy. And when you're as a human and you see them sprinting, it's just kind of freaky because they move real fast. And they're just, all they do is, you know, shake their little arms. And you think, as a zombie, you can dig real fast too with your arms. So you can really just charge. And you can just sort of, if you are in a building trying to get up and there's no way up, you can just sort of like jump and like move and get up real fast too. So
I was playing a zombie mode for the show, and that's what we did. We tunneled through the bottom of through a mountain basically up to get to the top of it so we could get to some people. My problem with the game is there's no tutorial, so you're just kind of like, the only options is to go in and play a game.
I will say that, like, the lack of tutorial isn't the biggest issue. It's just that for me, I really don't like when games don't have any kind of single player at all. I don't like that. You know, if you can't just... I don't care if the bot AI is, you know, the worst, this dumbest thing in the world. If it's like playing against 15 other Henderson Mans, I don't care. That's fine.
Oh, 15 other Henderson Mans. I see where this is going,
bitch. But, I mean, that just is... It's very annoying to me. Like, that's one of the things I've always loved about the Gears of War franchise, is that from 2 on, they added bot support. I like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an interesting game, and, you know, I got it yesterday when it was on sale on Steam for $5.
So. I got it from Lunchbox, and I'm going to fucking kill him. I'm going to destroy that little punk. I don't know why I'm calling him a little punk. He's
Lunchbox,
older than me.
Lunchbox, no!
I can't remember if I'm thinking of someone else or if things have changed, but I'm pretty sure a while ago he said, like, he and his wife were thinking about coming up to Chicago for Valentine's Day, and... Lunchbox, if you do that, I'm going to kill you. That's going to be my gift to your wife, is your rotting corpse.
Gee, and you should just, you know, even worse, you just show up on their date and hang out with them, be the third wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sit between them when they're sucking on the spaghetti noodle, you know, and...
That's disgusting.
Not that spaghetti noodle, you know. Lady in the Tramp.
I know what you're... That's still disgusting. I don't want to be between their faces when they're sucking that thing in. Reeling... each other's faces in.
Well, then you just take a bite out of the middle, and then they fall forward and smack their foreheads together. Come on, man. Comic gold there.
No.
Jeez.
I'd feel bad right now if he actually listened to the show with his wife, which I doubt he did, because that'd be a horrible idea.
No, he listens then, to this in some kind of closet in the back.
If they listened to it together, then I'm shocked they haven't gotten a divorce. He's like, this is what you like? God, I can't be with somebody who has such horrible taste.
Yes, so he, you know, he doesn't listen to his wife. He listens to this by himself in the closet somewhere. Oh God, I hope nobody finds out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So Ace of Spades. I know several people on my friends list have it. Gersnort, he picked it up, and then he bought like the 4-pack or whatever, and he gave one to Steven and trailerized.
Well, I would expect this to be right up Big Steven's alley.
Yeah,
he's a Minecraft fiend. Anything Minecraft-ish.
Oh my God.
But I think there's potential in the game with some updates and just some more playing around with it. Like maybe there's some more to do when you really hunker down with the actual mining of it and digging and all that stuff.
Yeah. So. But like you said about all the building the fortresses and stuff like that, I didn't even know about any of that stuff. So
yeah, well, that's
I've
like
only played two games.
In your classes, you have your different weapons, and it's not the widest selection. But then also on the right, there are these. I think for everyone, it's all the same, but there are four different constructs that you can use, and you could take three with you into a match. And there are different things. Like one will be like a bunkerish, where it's got like it's like a, you know, a box, and then there's a little slit that you can look out. And then the back of it is empty, so you can get in there. So, but it's like if you're the green team, it's a big green block, and it comes up on the map as this green block. So there's no hiding with it, or you can just sort of dig your own thing if you wanted to.
Nice. So yeah,
that is the Ice of Spades. That got so much worse.
Yeah, that did. That was not good. All right, so I've been... What have I been playing? Was I even talking in a language there? Jesus. Kush for Christmas got me Snapshot. And then I got him something else, and then I got more Microsoft points.
Mm-hmm.
So I still didn't win this damn contest, but...
Well, and, you know, it's not over yet. It's never over.
So... I played a little bit of the Snapshot game, and it's a puzzle platformer where it was an indie game.
Yeah, been a lot I saw it at PAX.
Yeah, it's really cool. The problem I have with it is because it uses the ASDW keys on the keyboard to use, and I really wish I could find. I wish there was some controller support. I guess I could always add to the Pinnacle, and they probably got something for it where you just use a controller and the mouse, but this would be perfect for a console. In fact, it's coming to PS3, I found out yesterday, PS3 and Vita, so I'm definitely getting it there so I can actually enjoy it. But what I've played of this is just really cool. You move your mouse around, you can take pictures of things in the environment, like crates and stuff. They may be below you or something where you can't get to them. Once you take a picture of them, they disappear from there, and they're in your photo. So then you just drop them in the environment where you need them. And I was watching some of the trailers for it and stuff, and it looked really interesting. I've been very interested in this game for a long time, and I didn't even realize it was at PAX. until like the final day when they're going to leave, and I noticed that I found the indie game section. I didn't see half the shit at PAX because I didn't know where half the shit was.
I saw pretty much all the indie stuff because I was there all 3 days. I really avoided all the big stuff because I'm not going to wait in a line to play Borderlands 2, which would come out like a week later or whatever. Yeah. I don't care about that crap. I didn't play any of the AAA titles and whatnot.
I watched a lot of Tomb Raider. That's what I'll say. But now this game's really interesting. I mean, it's a different take on a puzzle platformer. I don't think it got really high reviews in Metacritic. Well, I'll take that back. I think it was like a 76, but when it first got was brought out, the reviews were kind of middling, so I didn't know.
I don't know how many people reviewed it, even.
I don't know.
I mean, PC games, if they're not big, they don't often get the most reviews out there.
But this one was rated pretty highly at PAX, I'm pretty sure. I was thinking it was one of their, I don't know, whatever their little deal was down there. I was thinking it got some kind of award there or whatever. I don't know. But you're just a little robot dude, and you just kind of jump around solving puzzles, and it's really interesting. And like it looks like it gets a lot more complicated later on. Right now, it's just a lot of me finding blocks and dropping them. So I kind of recommend it if you're good at playing PC games and stuff. It's been on sale for like $5 several times. I don't know if it still is or not, but very, very interesting. Let's see. Let me skip around here a bit. I played Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two.
Because you're an idiot.
I like platformers. And once I figured out...
Oh, and you hated the demo.
I hated the demo because I didn't know where I was going. And once I watched your video and seen what I was doing with that telescope, I thought I would try the game. Because I was like, man, that doesn't look too bad. So
because it took me like 10 minutes to figure out what to do with the telescope.
Yeah. Well, at least you figured it out. My dumbass couldn't even figure it out. So I was confused about the whole toon thing. Later on, I finally figured out what toon wasn't like an item or a person, or not a person. So it was just like something in the environment. So that's why I was really confused.
Makes no sense.
I agree with that. But I got pretty far. I got a couple hours into it. It starts out pretty decent, and it just at one point it just really starts to go downhill where, I don't know, it's like they really worked out the first part of the game, and then it just like it all starts to twist and things become, I don't know, just really complicated. The controls don't feel as tight because the environments are weird. There's not as many puzzles. It's just a bunch of run around shooting things with paint or thinner until they stop moving so you can jump on them. And the biggest problem with the game, though, is that I think it needed the ability in single player to switch between Oswald and Mickey. Because there are things that Oswald can do that Mickey can't, like the float in the air. I mean, you can have him jump in the air and then jump onto his feet and hold on. But to me, I would rather just... takes too damn long. I just want to be able to jump off a cliff and glide over to that treasure chest or whatever. So, I did hear do not play this game on the Wii U. I know all of our listeners have Wii U's, including Kush, because the frame rate gets to about 2 or 3 frames a second in places. So that's probably not a good idea to pick it up on that system.
I would recommend not picking it up on any system. I don't care what this man's saying.
It would be a decent game for kids, and maybe if you were, you know, if it was $20. Then I also picked up Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed, which I seen Kush's little video demo of it, and it's pretty cool. It's hard as hell, though. I didn't realize it was going to be that damn difficult for a racing game. You really kind of have to level up. And the big problem is they have all these characters, and each one of them levels separately. So I was using Wreck-It Ralph, and you know, his vehicle's pretty fast, but the cornering's okay. But like it took forever. Like I had to do it on easy. I couldn't. If I did it on normal, I would come in like 6th, 7th place. So I went through and won like the first Grand Prix on easy, and started leveling my guy up like that. So it's going to be a pretty long game if you try to level up everybody and stuff. But it's really neat. Kind of reminds me a lot of Diddy Kong Racing. more than Mario Kart just because of all the vehicles and stuff like that. Some very interesting tracks. You know, most of them are based off Sega games, but some of them are pretty, I'm not going to say obscure Sega games, but stuff like Legend of Dragoon and stuff like that. Not Legend of Dragoon.
Yeah, just like Panzer based Dragoon. Off games that were, you know, big on the Saturn or something, mm-hmm. or systems that weren't as widespread.
Right. So, and apparently they're going to be releasing, like, DLC characters and stuff like that from other games. There was talk that they wanted them to bring out the one lady from Valkyria Chronicles and stuff like that. So, it's a very interesting kart racer game. And the fact that it dropped at the budget rate of $40 is pretty cool. And I'm sure it's been on sale since then as well. So, it's definitely a very interesting game. Then I played some more Far Cry 3. That game is still pretty cool. I've broken a bear out in a base and just watched it decimate the entire group of people in there. Just cool shit like that. I finally got a flamethrower, and man, things catch on fire quick again. They didn't learn their lesson from Far Cry 2 with that fire, let me tell you.
One thing I don't like that I've heard, and it might have been from the Player One podcast, is that the mission structure is of a linear nature, of which you are put into like an actual mission with a set area that you can only, if you leave that area, it's like, oh, you're leaving the mission area, which is annoying to me.
There is a distinct area when you get to a place, you can see like the yellow outline, but I never seen a reason to leave that area once I got in there, because it's a pretty open area. Maybe it gets worse later on or something, but like some missions, you know, you start out with, oh, you're unconscious, and when you wake up, you're in a burning building, and you've got to save somebody.
I don't know. And I just kind of wish you could just stumble onto a mission while you're in the open world, and just, oh, here's where a mission is. I'm just going to go do it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't like that in Far Cry 2. Most open worlds aren't like that.
I think it was like that in Far Cry 2.
No, you had to get to specific areas.
You can leave. I mean, the missions take place in a specific area, but it's not like...
Yeah, but why would you need to leave the area if you're going there for a mission anyway?
I don't want to... forget it. Just keep talking.
But it's definitely pretty cool. This game is one of those that has so many, like, extra stuff to do. It kind of overwhelms you, and I kind of got to the point where, to me, I got like, oh, I killed a few sharks, so I get my weapon holsters built up and stuff like that by doing all the hunting. And after I did that, I kind of was like, I'm done doing the hunting for right now. I want to go do some missions and story missions and stuff like that.
There's stupid, too. They need to increase your wallet size to have more money.
Yeah, and it's even worse when you're killing dudes and you're picking their wallets up off of them. It's like, hey, you picked up this... Like, when you kill somebody, you get all this useless crap to sell. And it's like, you found a wallet. You found a pirate necklace. And you're like, what the fuck? Why would I pick up this stuff off the person? You know, it's... But you can pick up all their weapons and stuff when they die. So if you have a... If you're like carrying a sniper rifle with you and you realize, oh, fuck, I don't need a sniper rifle. I need a shotgun. You know, you can pick up their shotgun off of them.
Sad to hear that the map is no longer a physical map in the game.
That was the worst feature.
I loved all that stuff about Far Cry 2.
You couldn't look at your map and drive at the same time.
You looked down. You stopped looking ahead of you and look at the map. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
I like having the more realistic thing instead of it all just being, oh, this is a game.
So I hear the story like falls apart near the end though, which so far the story's been pretty cool to me. But so far it's just been, hey, Rich kid loses his friends. He's got to find them, but he's like the great white hope. So, but you know, played some more Halo 4. Me and my buddy Sean, we went through like 90% of the Spartan Ops missions in like two nights. They're on hiatus right now till January. The Spartan Ops missions are the co-op 4-player missions or whatever that you can do. They're just basically, here's a large map, kill a bunch of things or destroy objectives and stuff like that. I did finish the storyline for Halo 4. Hugely disappointed. That story was crap. And the fact that the environments were just boring to even look at. It was just, ugh. there were some problems with that. But the multiplayer is really fun. All the stuff that's been in the previous Halo games, like them making movies and stuff like that, still in there for the most part, except you can't do it in campaign, which they probably don't want you to do it in campaign because you realize how fucking boring a campaign is. Although they did set up pretty good for a Halo 5, so maybe there's that. Hopefully they get back to the earthy like environments where there's jungles and color instead of, oh look, everything's metal and boring and brown. So that was my least favorite part of Halo 4, was just the campaign. And it seemed really short compared to the other campaigns of Halo. So thank God, though. There was very little vehicle combat in the campaign as well.
That sounds good to me. I hated every vehicle section of every Halo game I've ever played.
I don't know, man. I love the stuff where you had to fight the two giant walking things and you're on vehicles and had to climb up inside of them and stuff and blow them up from inside in Halo 3. I just love that kind of shit. And it didn't have anything that felt that epic. So
I hate that crap because I feel like it's inclined to be played in co-op or something because the AI is so stupid.
Yeah, kind of a game is meant to be played in co-op ever since the second one. Or not was the second one? The third one. I don't know. But I guess they were all built to play co-op. You just couldn't play online co-op. And the last thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is I went back and started playing Minecraft. Because they added some modes to the Xbox 360 version this week. They finally added levels and stuff like that. So we've been playing it in a new survival mode world for a couple nights now. Me and Sean and Gillum. And we've been having a blast playing it. The first night we built our little house and put a few torches down there. We're getting to the point now where we're actually opening up and exploring more of the world. Apparently we did build our house on a Native American burial ground, because you go down about 3 feet under the house and suddenly it opens into a cave system where it has been nonstop creepers, Enderman, spiders, and skeletons when you go down there to explore. But it kind of makes it fun that way because, there's actually stuff down there to kill. But we had an incident last night where we were trying to encase an Enderman in glass because he was down there and he wouldn't move. And we thought it would be cool to encase him in glass. We'd already encased him in other junk, like just gravel and dirt and stuff. Well, when I went to start pickaxing the dirt to move it out of the way, I accidentally hit him, and he went fucking nuts, and he kept killing us. So
good job.
he was relentless. We finally, he would teleport away every time you hit him, so we're like, we couldn't find him down in the cave system. And apparently they can open doors and stuff, too, from what I hear, so I don't know about all that, but we eventually did find him outside. He had teleported himself outside the cave, and he was up on behind our house, and finally Gillum killed him. But my favorite thing we discovered late last night, and it kept us up to almost 5 in the morning, was we had discovered enchanting items. So now they've added this thing. What you do is you take a book, some diamonds, and some obsidian, and you make this enchanting table, and then you throw your weapons in there. So you're also gaining levels. When you put your weapon in this thing, it gives you like 3 random things. You can't read what they are. They're just symbols. I guess if you pay attention to those symbols, you can figure out, hey, which one of these do. But there's also a number out the side of them, and this is how many experience levels it costs. So let's say you're level 9. There might be several items in here. It's like, oh, this is level 1, level 1, and level 7. Well, so if you take the level 7 one, you lose all but 2 levels that you had. And to me, that's just, it's fucking awesome. So, like, we've had a sword that's enchanted sharpness. So, I mean, Sean had one that was just, like, cutting through fucking spiders like they were butter. And we were just collecting that shit to make bows and arrows. I enchanted my bow and arrow, and it was killing creepers from across a pretty good portion of the map. It makes that game so much more interesting, exploring-wise and stuff. Now, they've added fortresses, and they've added the NPC villages and stuff on the Xbox 360 version. So, we started building our house up and stuff now. We've almost got a pretty impenetrable fortress at the moment. Although we did have one instance last night where somebody left the door open and a creeper got in the fucking house and blew up Gillum, and which blew up the front of the house, and we had to fix that. And as we were fixing it, two more creepers showed up and came in the house and blew it up even more. But now we fixed that problem, so we won't be having that problem anymore.
With the updates, if you have an existing world, does that adapt to these updates or no? Do you have to build a whole new world from scratch?
I don't honestly know. Apparently, it does update the worlds. Well, some of them it updates, from what I understand. It's really weird. I know it has the same problem that the PC version did, where you'll have water walls and stuff, where like the world expanded out, but there was water there, so there's just this huge wall of water and weird shit like that. But I haven't played any of my old previous worlds. I don't know. I'm pretty sure if you go back to an old world...
I'll need to check it out.
Yeah.
Because I only have my one world, but I have a very elaborate house, underground house, with all these different passageways and doors and everything.
You know, honestly, I was thinking back when they added pistons to the game. Somebody said that the pistons didn't work in your old world. So I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. But, yeah, you should have seen us last night, though. We were looking for sugarcane because we wanted to make books. Because that's something else with the enchanting table. The more bookshelves you have around it, the more powerful it is, your enchanting table. So we were fucking looking for sugarcane because it takes 3 pieces of sugarcane to make a piece of paper, and it takes 3 pieces of paper to make a book, 3 books to make a bookshelf. So it was like constantly us trying to find these damn sugarcane so we could make this thing more powerful. I think I've got about 14 bookshelves now around that thing. So it's really cool. They added so much to this game now where I had gotten bored with it. Now I'm excited to play it again. And I'm sure I'll get bored with it pretty fast, but...
Like everything.
Yeah, like everything. So, that's pretty much what I've been playing.
Alright, well, I've been playing I Am Alive, which is the asshole game that was in Chicago and then decided to just be in some random place that doesn't exist because they're a bunch of jackasses. I've played it for maybe an hour or so, and I think it's got a lot of great ideas. It doesn't execute on them particularly well. Like, what... My biggest problem with the game is that every time you run into a hostile group, it doesn't feel organic. It feels like it's purposefully placed there. And that I don't like that. It feels just like, oh, well, I know I'm going to run into one in a little bit, so might as well get ready. And they always end up the same. I pull out my gun, or, you know, one with a gun comes up to me. I do the quick kill, get his ammo, and then I pull out my gun, and I either take out somebody if somebody else has a gun, or I scare them, and then I maybe have to shoot one, or I have to scare them back by an edge and then kick them off. It's like every encounter feels the same, and that's really annoying because there's a lot of great ideas. Like, I like the idea that you can scare off a guy with a gun without any bullets in it, and then if you accidentally pull the trigger, then they know, or stuff like that. There's a lot of, you know, really good ideas in the game, but it's not particularly implemented well.
My biggest problem is the stamina thing.
The stamina, I have a problem with that simply because it feels like they put you in situations where you are forced to whatever it is. You know, they're like, oh, you're going to exert yourself extra, and then it depletes it, so you have to use an item. Like, I feel like there are too many times where it's like, well, you're screwed. You're going to have to do that. So that's what's annoying. Like, but whatever. It's very interesting. I hope Zombie Princess enjoys it because, like, gifted her a copy of it.
Well, look at you, Father Christmas.
But yeah, I still want to play some more of it, but I've just kind of been dipping my toes in a whole bunch of different games that I haven't gotten to play yet. But I like the idea of it. You know, this whole kid thing was weird. But whatever. It's I Am Alive. I swear to God, if Watch Dogs ends up going over some overhaul and ends up in some other city, I'm going to kill someone. I'm going to kill Jade Raymond, even though she has nothing to do with that project. I don't remember she had anything. I think she had something to do with I Am Alive in the beginning.
At the beginning, and I think that... I don't even know what the hell happened to that woman. Does anybody even know?
I don't know. Who knows? I still remember that horrible comic of like everyone jizzing on her face. But yeah, I also played Scribblenauts Unlimited because you gifted me a copy, and then I made a video.
Halo Murder Simulator 2000.
Instead of seeing Wreck-It Ralph on Friday, I decided to upload that video. And I think I chose the better of the two. But I've been enjoying the game. I think playing it, I can see how it would really work well on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. Having the controller to move Maxwell and then just using the screen to type in. I still prefer typing with a tactile keyboard, of course, but the actually moving Maxwell, I just use the mouse instead of the keyboard because I just find it simpler that way. But I'm enjoying the game. I'm annoyed that there isn't like just a empty area that you can, like, I don't know if maybe eventually unlock something, but I wish there was just a thing where you can, like in the old games, you could do like in the menu where it's like, okay, change the scenery. Now just use this empty space to, you know, bring in whatever you want. There's nothing like that. So that's why I went to the farm to kill Halo. Because that's like the least active area.
Right.
I think I need to make more videos of different ways to kill Halo. And I need to use like Steam Workshop so that when I type in Halo, a pug comes up.
Yeah, you can do that in the Wii U version too. You just has a creator where you just like design a monster or design something.
I'm gonna design you too and be like either Rocket Man or the Perfect Gentleman. Probably Rocket Man because the Perfect Gentleman's too long.
But it's really cool. And then you can also in the Wii U version. I don't know how it is on the, like I said, I don't know how Steam works and all that works. But in the Wii U version, you can actually go to stores and buy other people's things. That's why
on Steam, you just have like the Steamworks thing where it just has all these different character models and you just download them or stuff like that.
I guess that's kind of cool. The Wii U version actually has like 10 different storefronts and they just randomly fill up with people. I don't know if I should go back in there and look. Because
I got a Raphael, but there are no other Ninja Turtles yet.
On the Wii U version, somebody had all four of the turtles.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know what's taking so long on the PC.
But, although the PC version, man, they had that picture on Kotaku and stuff several weeks ago, or they had all of the sites really had it at one point, but it was just like all these different characters that people had made, like Cobra Commander and like all the G.I. Joes and shit like that. I thought that was fucking awesome. The Ghostbusters.
There's a lot of stuff.
So, still a fun game, man. It's Scribblenauts, man.
I don't know if it's like it on the Wii U, but on the PC, like the overworld map, looks like it's a low resolution compared to the actual game. I mean, the game is real sharp. It looks real nice. But the map looks fuzzy. I don't know if it's like that on the Wii.
I don't really remember. I imagine it's probably the same way. Because, the game looks really sharp. But I think you're right. It does look a little fuzzy on the open world map. Or the selection map. I really like the fact that the game feels more open world and organic than just like, you know, it's all like, instead of being like levels, it's kind of like areas in there, like, oh, it's got challenges and puzzles in the environment, you know.
Yeah, I wish it would have come to Vita. It'd be so nice on the Vita.
I'm really surprised it hasn't come to Xbox Live Arcade or something, too.
Yeah, I don't know the reasoning, since it is on PC. Like, if maybe they have a console exclusive deal with Nintendo, because I know those happen. Or some studios just prefer doing that. Like, I know, like, the Bit Trip guys, they have their games on PC and iOS, but only console is the WiiWare shop.
Yeah.
So who knows? But they did that hybrid game. That's by Fifth Cell.
Yeah, and that game's terrible. Ugh.
I don't know. I haven't played it. It's on sale right now. Today only.
Yeah, for $5. That's $10 too much, that piece of shit. Scribblenauts Unlimited 2 on the Wii U does have like Mario and Zelda and stuff in it too. So
Link. I had no idea there was already a sequel on the Wii U. That's amazing.
I said, what did I say?
You said Scribblenauts Unlimited 2.
I think I was saying is also Scribble Unlimited.
Who cares? It's too late.
Scribble Unlimited.
But yeah, I'm enjoying the game. I've always enjoyed that game. And I look forward to playing more of it. I put a decent amount of time into it. So, yeah. That's Scribblenauts. It's what you expect from Scribblenauts. I still like, I really do, I like how sharp it looks. It's very nice. I mean, it's, I really like that art style.
Yeah, I'm sure it looks really good on the PC.
Yeah. So, I also played some Metro 2033, which
you and Lunchbox were talking about this yesterday, and I almost threw it in. Yeah. And I remembered how hard as balls that game is.
I played it because he got it, because Lunchbox, I told him, because I was just, I don't know, I was just spitting out bullcrap, because I've had it for a while, and I've always wanted to get to it. And it was on sale, digitally on the Xbox 360 for $10. And I just said, hey, you buy it, I'll play it. And then he bought it. And then I played it, and I decided, you know what? What the hell? I'm going to go put it on Ranger Hardcore mode.
Oh, God.
And then I was like, fuck this game. I died like right away when the thing came out. And I think it wasn't so much the creature that killed me, but I don't think I either got the notification or didn't pay attention to the notification to put on my gas mask.
Mm.
So I died real quick, and I was like, oh, fuck this game, and turned it off. And then I came back a few days later, because I'm like, no, I said I would play this. So then I just put it on easy. Yeah. And I'm enjoying it. It really reminds me sort of like Far Cry 2 sensibilities, with all these, you know, in-game menu structure and stuff like that, with the linear nature and the vibe of Condemned. So I kind of dig that.
It's also very immersive. They really did a good job with that world.
Yeah. And, I don't know, it's cool. I was surprised that it got so, I didn't think it would get as crazy with the monsters right away. I thought like maybe those would come in later. Like it would be more about, you know, different factions of people fighting, and then all of a sudden monsters come in. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a, whatever, early on there's like some dream thing where he sees like an alien creature too. So I don't know what the hell's going on with that game.
I'm very interested to see the sequel, because I think they're going to fix some of the problems. So.
Yeah, I'm interested in that on console, because I kind of want to jump to PC with the game, because I think it would look a lot better on the PC, because it feels a bit muddy on the 360. And I've always heard that it's a real looker on the PC.
Hmm. But it's one of them weird Polish games, I think, too, isn't it?
I think it might. I think they're Polish, maybe. Maybe they're Russian. They're the guys that did Stalker. So
I don't know. I keep thinking they're Polish, but I might be wrong. They may be Russian.
I'm guessing they're Russian just because of the whole Chernobyl thing with the Stalker stuff and stuff. But yeah, I really wish they would. Like, I kind of miss this. Like, I played the Stalker games, and I really like those because it's like an open world, and they have these. I don't know. I like the vibe of that and the scope of that compared to this, because it does feel linear. I don't know if it ever opens up at all or not.
I bought one of them Stalker games for like $1 or something on Microsoft's downloadable store or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if my computer now could even run it.
Probably not. I don't think they were optimized that well. Though they aren't. I mean, if I was going to play them now, I would look for mods, because I don't think they're that pretty anymore. They were very nice back when they first came out. But I also played Dishonored. Enough of that. And I really don't know how to feel about the game. I really like the visuals. I know that there seems to be sort of a hit or miss with people, but I really like them. But the problem is that I do enjoy stealth in games, and if stealth is an option, I feel inclined to go for that, but it's so arbitrary in this game. Like, there's no real way of telling, oh, can they see me or can't they? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes no sense. And if you try to distract somebody by throwing a bottle at near them or somewhere else, they might just, all they do is like, huh, what was that? And they don't move, they don't investigate where the sound came from, they just stand where they are. That's annoying. Yeah,
I had some of the same problems, and I even bought the power where you can see their vision cones, but the way that that's set up, the way you see through everything, it just kind of, you can't tell if they're looking at you or looking away from you with the vision cones, so it's not even useful.
I don't know. I don't know, maybe it's, you know, after playing Mark of the Ninja, it's just sort of makes me feel like every stealth game should just be 2D from now on, because that's the perfect way to get around having these issues where it gets confusing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they did some really cool stuff with the game where they, you know, oh, you can kill this person in several different types of ways and stuff like that. Like, I don't know how far you've gotten.
I've only gotten, I just got like the power area, so now I'm back in the overworld map for the second time. Like I went through the part where you wake up and then like everything's gravity's all messed up, and there's this guy who's telling you, who gives you your tattoo and stuff.
Okay, so you ain't even got to the first assassination yet. So
no, I just got out of the thing where I break out of the prison and end up in the safe haven area.
Yeah, you might want to go back to it a little bit because it does open up.
I'm definitely going to be playing some more of it, but I feel like, because I want to play my first playthrough, going through it, not killing anyone.
Yeah.
So I feel like after I do that and, you know, jump into missions after that, that I'll probably have a lot more fun.
My big problem with it, too, is, like, with you, I feel like I have to do stealth, but then even finding out there's two different endings and the good ending has to deal with how many people you kill just kind of really bothered me. I'm kind of like, ugh. My favorite thing about that game, though, is if you've gotten the heart yet.
I just got that thing where you can, it'll tell you about an area, or if you're like targeted person, it will.
Yeah, that gets really cool. Just like targeting certain people. But then again, it just starts, it's kind of like a repeating dialogue eventually. But for a while there, you know, you'll click on somebody and they'll have like three different things to say about them. But then I was like, man, this is awesome. But then later on, you just see another random guard and it'll say the same thing. And it was kind of like, aw.
Yeah, it's a very cool game. I feel like there's, you know, there's a lot of polishing they can do and fixing up the mechanics, and I'm pretty sure it sold pretty well enough to warrant a sequel, so that would be cool to see, you know, on the next-gen systems.
Like I said, that game fell apart for me when I realized that there were some optional side quests, and it was just going back to the same place I did an optional side quest the time before. That just really, stuff like that irks me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just like they just, you know, the game's not that long from what I understand. And to reuse assets in a short game like that, that's been in development for quite a few years, it just seems kind of cheap to me. I want new environments. I don't want to go through the same area two or three times. So even though I don't have to, it's optional. But still, sometimes when they say optional, it's like, hey, if you don't want to kill this guy, you need to go do this for me. And you're like, okay, but then why am I going to the same place? And you know, they may have added a new guard or something. It's just, it's weird.
But yeah.
I know a lot of people picked that as their game of the year.
I also beat The Walking Dead. I forgot to put that anywhere on here.
Oh, well, cool.
I figured we could talk about that at the end, a little spoilerish. But yeah, so we'll hold off on that for right now. But I also played the Xbox Live indie game Fishing Frenzy.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Though I played that, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. I just finally, you know, I took the video and I took it from private to public. That's what I did. But it's okay. It gets boring and old fast. You're just sort of this boat and you launch a line down to catch fish and avoid whatever. I was kind of hoping for more of a Feeding Frenzy type game because I really...
Insane! Shing. Wow, that was weird.
Yeah, I don't... Whatever. This Skype does not want us talking about Fishing Frenzy. It's not that great of a game. Forget it. Go play Feeding Frenzy. I'm done. For movies. Talking about movies.
Alright, you went and seen The Life of Pi.
Yep. Saw
it
in 3D.
It's a very visual movie.
Yes, the 3D is not as amazing as everyone said. I barely noticed it at all. But I really enjoyed the movie from a visual standpoint. And I think the story is interesting. I never read the book, but because it's got a very like religious undertone to it all, mm-hmm. And I think it's exactly like what I like about religion as an idea and all that. Mm-hmm. It's basically where at the end, he basically, because it's about, you know, this guy who ends up, you know, shipwreck, and then he ends up on this boat with a tiger. And then, you know, when he ends up on land in like Mexico or something, and then people from the ship he was on ask him about what happened, and he tells them the story of all this, you know, of this fantastical story with this tiger and everything, and then they say, no, that's crazy, tell us something we can go back to our investors and all this that they can believe. And then he tells them about, oh well, you know what actually happened was the cook and the whatever, this other person were on the ship. This guy killed the other guy, ate him. My mom was there too, and she got upset, and then he ended up killing her, and then I killed him, and that's how I ended up here. And, you know, they took that story and believed it. And it's just sort of like, you know, I can't prove either story. You know, both led me here. But, you know, which one do you believe in? Like, that's basically sort of this idea of, like, you know, it's the whole idea of faith and just having these, you know, you have these two stories and, you know, no matter what, you're going to end up in the same place. But it's what you choose to believe. So I like that idea of the whole thing.
Interesting. Didn't expect that.
Yeah, it's a
I thought maybe eventually, you know, at one point the tiger kills him. He says, wait, no, that's not how that happened.
No, it's not Prince of Persia, you racist. But it's a very interesting story. I really want to read the book now. And I think it was, visually, I think it's just a beautiful film. I think it might be better as a book, though. But I think visually it's worth seeing just for that alone. And, you know, I think overall the CG tiger looked really, really good, except for sometimes the eyes just seemed really dead, as they tend to do in CG anything. But I would recommend seeing it, especially on the big screen. I would say there's no need to see it in 3D, even though everyone's been raving about it as like, oh, this is why 3D is good. I didn't know it. The best part of the whole movie from a 3D standpoint is like right in the beginning when this lizard comes up to the screen. That's it. I don't know. It's like I don't think it's a Komodo dragon, but it's like one of those.
Well, I could tell you what a Komodo dragon looks like because I've dealt with enough of them in Far Cry 3. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it looks a lot like one, but I think it's too small to be one.
Yeah, they're big.
Yeah, because they ate some people in Skyfall.
All right. Well, I watched The Dark Knight Rises, finally. And it was my favorite out of the three of them. So, you know, people are pissed off.
You're a fucking idiot.
I thought the pacing was way better than Dark Knight. And, well, the first one was okay. The second, The Dark Knight, yeah. I hated everything but the Joker. If the Joker wasn't in it,
The first one's my favorite. I think that's the best movie of them all. I think The Dark Knight has the best performance, which is the Joker.
Of course.
And then I think the third one, I think it doesn't work just because, for one, I don't like Bane's voice. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's fucking terrible.
I think...
I
don't know. I think that's one of my biggest problems with it. I think the whole Talia reveal at the end is complete nonsense. And their whole, like, they're
cool.
No, because it was such bullshit. It was so put in there for no fucking reason other than have her be Talia. I think the best part of the movie was probably Catwoman. I think she did a fantastic job as Catwoman. Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, we need another Catwoman movie with her in it.
Mm-hmm. It's called Les Miserables. Bless.
I will probably watch that when it comes out on video. I've always been interested in that play ever since I was in French in high school.
It's great. It's a great musical. I've been hearing too many not so great things about the movie that I just kind of want to avoid it. I just saw it in the theater a few weeks ago, and it wasn't anywhere near as good as the first time I saw it, and I kind of don't want to be disappointed by it again because it's my favorite musical, my favorite like that kind of musical, mm-hmm. that more operatic, you know, big musical. I mean, my favorite musical is the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is a completely different. It's a completely different kind of musical. But yeah, Dark Knight Rises.
I liked it. Maybe it's because I also went into it so unhyped for the series because I'm not a big fan of the series, and everybody dogged on this movie compared to the rest of them. Like, so many people said they hated it. They hated Bane, but I thought it was pretty good, and I liked the Talia reveal. I honestly didn't see it coming, even though I've heard rumors.
That was so obvious, and like everything about her character made no sense. Like, when they got together at his house, that was complete nonsense.
But they've always had a thing.
No, they haven't. She's a brand new. She hasn't been in any of the other things. She just, like, popped up. She's not a...
Yeah, but Talia has been around.
I don't care. He doesn't know who she is or anything. It's not about the past in the actual comics and all, you know, the animated series or any of that kind of crap. It's about this movie. It's about the movie story, which is its own thing. And in the movie, there is no relationship or past with those characters. So no, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I think it makes plenty of sense.
No, it makes plenty of sense for you. Hotcakes Man can go fuck himself and go back to Canada if they'll let him in like 6 months and don't come back. Stay, get out of here.
Please take that out. Because he's back in Canada because his mom died. So.
Great. Nobody tells me anything. This is just like with Carrie. Fuck all you people. You know, I'm not taking shit out. Because if you don't want me to say shit like that, then you should fucking tell me stuff.
So, yeah. And then I watched on Netflix, I watched Video Game High School, which just was a... it was a web series and that they just kind of put it on DVD, I guess, and then Netflix put it up. I thought it was really good. It's really cute for what it is. It's for it being a real low-budget thing, they do a really bunch of cool special effects and stuff for... the game is set in the fictional universe where, you know, if you're really good at video games, you go to a high school where they teach, you know, video games and stuff like that. And it's basically... It revolves around a first-person shooter game where just a kid and his, kills like the world's greatest video game player because he was showing off. And basically, when he goes to the school, he's like made a mortal enemy with this guy, and he makes some nerdy friends. But I really recommend it. It was a good web series, and that does really good on Netflix. So I'm not gonna say much more than that. You can watch it. It's 2 hours long because you know it's like. It was like a 5-part series at like 20 minutes a piece or something. It's, or whatever it was. It's 2 hours long, I know that. So, I liked it. So, haven't watched any television. I started reading a Stephen King book from a couple years ago called 11-22-63. And it's basically a time travel book where a man's going back in time to try to stop Oswald from killing Kennedy. I haven't gotten, but like, 10% through the book.
Thus the title.
Yeah. It's really, you know, I was kind of put off by it when I found out it was about Kennedy, the Kennedy assassination. I was kind of like, didn't want to read it. But my best friend had read it just recently, and he's like, it's really good. And I'll have to say this, when I started out, I was really impressed with it, because the way it opens up isn't anything what you expect. He's a high school teacher, and he made friends with this, man who he taught in a GED class, and he's like mentally he's not really mentally challenged. His dad tried to kill him when he was a kid, and so he's not quite right in the head, and that's kind of what starts all this to happen. This whole spins the story out of control. So I'm very interested to see where this book goes, because it's really good.
I've heard nothing but great things about it. I haven't read it myself yet, but yeah. I've heard great things.
So I finally picked it up off the Kindle store. I think it was like $8 off the Kindle store. So
yeah, a lot of his books went on sale for like either 5% or 20% off.
Yeah. So it's really good what I've read so far. I'm very impressed with what I read. So I'd highly recommend it. All right. News and rants.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I just want to say I watched a little bit of Garfield and Friends on Netflix, which has just gotten on there. And Lunchbox is also a fan, so... Yeah, I love that thing.
Although I hate when they added Funny Farm or whatever it was.
I don't know if you're talking about like all the farm characters that were in from the very beginning.
Well, they were in the first episode. Hold on. Garfield, there used to be Garfield.
You might thinking of a different show.
No, before it was Garfield and Friends, it was just actually Garfield.
Which would just be a different show.
No.
It would just be a Garfield show, not Garfield and Friends.
Yes, but it wasn't. It's the same Garfield. I mean, it's just they added these farm characters to it at one point, because it started out being a 30-minute show about Garfield, and then they added. Just fucking believe me. I was older.
No, I'm not going to believe you of anything.
I was older than you. You don't remember.
I don't know. Fuck you. It's Garfield and Friends.
Something different was before. Anyway.
No. Garfield and Friends.
Shut up, Normal.
Shithead.
Valve pulls the War Z down from the Steam store. So, at first I was really confused about War Z, because I thought it was DayZ. Or is that what it was called?
Yeah.
The Arma game DayZ. And apparently this game was like really crap. It didn't work.
Well, it was just like it had all these issues, and it was like false advertising. False advertising, and I think it took some assets from The Walking Dead or something too. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things that just did not go the way they said they were going to be going.
Yeah, some people were saying that they would spawn in, get sniped from a distance because they didn't have any weapons, because you don't spawn in with any kind of gun or anything, and they would get sniped by somebody and die, and then it would take them 4 hours to respawn or something like that, or you could pay real money to respawn faster. So it just seemed really like a crap way to...
Yeah. It seems like it has a free-to-play model, but it's not free.
Oh, that's even worse. Ugh. Please don't let that get into the console market.
It's just really weird.
THQ Incorporated secures asset purchasing agreement with Clear Lake.
Yeah, this is just sad.
But, you know, reading Jason Rubin, their president or whatever, talk about it, it seems like it could be a good thing.
It's just sad because, you know, you watch other companies fold and they kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say they deserve it, but it's sort of like they maybe don't make the best stuff. But THQ has done a lot of good games that just don't end up selling or whatever. So that's disappointing.
Their biggest problem is they used to throw these huge elaborate parties for people. Then they brought out that U-Draw tablet.
Yeah, that's their biggest problem, is the U-Draw tablet.
So it's sad to see them go like this. And they're a good company. And they even went so far as to... they used to make all the shit games like the SpongeBob SquarePants games and stuff like that. And they got to the point where they said, we're not going to do that kind of stuff anymore. And then this U-Draw tablet just kind of fucked them up. So, you know, it's really sad. But... hopefully everything goes well, because, you know, I've got friends at Vigil Games. We've got friends at Vigil Games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hate to see them go under. This other rumor started popping up that Ubisoft might be interested in buying some of those assets, but that don't even make sense, because from what I understand, it's not they're not bankrupt. They're bankruptcy protection. They're being
complicated.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little while before we really know what ends up happening with all of this.
If
anyone's going to like start buying parts, I feel very confident that Activision will go after Saints Row and what the hell's in it, Volition. Just because they don't have their own open world franchise.
I would love to see Ubisoft at everybody out there to buy them, because Ubisoft does.
I think Ubisoft would be good. I also think that Square Enix could be interesting. Because their Western games have really been good. Everything that happens over in Japan has been whatever, but like, you know, Eidos and all that, Deus Ex and all that stuff.
I could almost see like Square picking up stuff like Vigil Studios for like the Darksiders and stuff like that. And maybe like Ubisoft picking up, I don't know.
They'll pick up Darksiders and say, okay, forget this license, do it in Final Fantasy, so we have Final Fantasy Zelda.
That would be way better than anything they've brought out recently. So yep. Vigil Games is doing a Final Fantasy game. I'd love it.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. I don't remember. Wordament hits iOS complete with Xbox Live achievements. This made me excited. I hope this is something that continues.
It makes me feel bad about my Windows phone.
I don't think it's going to be like every game comes out with achievements, but... I would
assume it's just going to be sort of like Microsoft published games, like that's their own game. I would assume it's stuff like that. Maybe they'll bring out Minesweeper, crap like that. But I don't think games that are like, because you can get achievements in like Plants vs. Zombies on the Windows phone, but I don't think that's going to be updated into the iOS version of Plants vs. Zombies.
Now, how many achievement points do you get for a phone game?
I think they differ. I think it's 200 normally.
Okay,
but Wordament is 50 because Wordament is a free game. I think that's the reasoning behind that. But I'm not exactly entirely sure, so don't take anything I'm saying as fact.
Yeah, I played 3 or 4 games of Wordament last night and got 3 or 4. Because
you can also get Wordament on the Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are other games like that.
I hope they do more of this because it's awesome.
Yeah, maybe they'll update that into the Connectimals app. I love Connectimals, though I have it, but I just can't bring myself to play because it's too depressing. I love the idea of it, and I played the demo, you know, a long time ago, and that was too depressing.
Yeah,
I can't go back to that, because I also played like a little bit, and it was before Pokey passed, and I named my cat Pokey. I don't want to go in there and be like, "Hey Pokey, how you been?" No. Not going to happen. But yeah, that's news. We do have some questions.
Oh,
from
yes.
Zombie Princess. They're quite a few. They're basically about our... Some, because I want to wait until next episode for, like, our game of the year and all that kind of stuff. But
okay.
She had some questions about... Because I want to, you know, get the... The year's not over, technically. And I want to catch up on some of the games I didn't get to play. But her question was, I want to know what was the most disappointing game of the last year for you both. Which, by last year, she means this year. also, the funniest, the hardest to put down, and the most satisfying to finish. So those aren't technically game of the year, so...
Most disappointing game of last year. I'm not going to say... There's several games that just really didn't hit that mark for me like I wanted them to. Mass Effect 3.
That would be mine, without a question. I stopped playing that game. Like, yeah. After putting 20... Because I really despise the story as a whole. It's not... I haven't even gotten to the ending, so I don't know if I'd have a problem with that. But it's the story as a whole. I just feel like they're trying too hard to make it this final, you know, final arc of a trilogy. It's like, oh, this person's going to die because they got to die. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. But, and then also, not that it's a big disappointment, but Assassin's Creed 3, which I did finally finish, it wasn't like, oh, it's a bad game. It's just that after all the work that they did with the last couple of Assassin's Creed, like Brotherhood and Revelations, even Revelations had some stuff going for it there. Yeah. I feel like they almost took a back step in this one.
Well, it's because they didn't work on those two games. So.
Right. But you would think that they would take a lot of that stuff and incorporate it. But to me, it's just
I don't think they wanted to.
Took a little bit of a back step. Because, I mean, this is the main team. So you would think, hey, they've got some good stuff going on. It's just like some of it just didn't feel like it was code complete or something. It just had so many issues. But it was a good game, and the story was really good, and it tied itself up for the most part. But it was kind of just a little bit disappointing for what I wanted. Now, the game I couldn't put down was fucking Borderlands 2, which I was already spent.
What's the funniest game?
The funniest?
Yeah, is that Borderlands 2 for you, too? I know a lot of people found that funny.
I love the humor in Borderlands 2.
For me, the funniest game is it's obviously Rocket Girl. I don't know what the hell that fucking game is, man. This shit is crazy. I can't think of many games that really made me laugh, though. I don't find the humor in Borderlands 2 particularly funny. Even whatever the little girl, none of it really.
Did you finally finish it?
No.
Oh.
I'll probably get back to it at some point, but it's just sort of like I know what the game is, and I don't need to jump into it right now because I'm not missing out on anything. And also, like, I don't know if it's the last day of the countdown to 2013. Or not, but at one point the season pass is going to be on sale.
Yeah.
So I'll probably jump back in when that is on sale.
Yeah, it's coming soon. Also, Halo 4 was a huge disappointment. So, just get that out there. And like I said, the best game I couldn't put down was freaking Borderlands 2. I'm sure I've put over 100 hours of that by now. It's ridiculous. And that's basically almost all on one character.
Yeah.
And so.
I really loved Dust and Elysian Tale. The hardest game to put down for me is a game I'm still playing every day, and I'm not going to mention it because it is my game of the year. Lunchbox knows what it is. You can guess what it is. Don't say it if you do know what it is, but it's a ridiculous to many people, I'm sure, but you'll find that out. most satisfying to finish? I don't know. Are you even there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I really don't know about most satisfying to finish.
Because
I've finished a bunch of games this year, but it's just, none of them have really been like.
Dust was satisfying to finish, just because I think the overall that entire story really surprised me. Mm-hmm. I was shocked by that. I guess Walking Dead was satisfying to finish, even though it's kind of sad I didn't. But we'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, I can't say Darksiders 2 was satisfying to finish because I guess it was because at the same time when I finished it, I immediately started playing it again, and I almost went through and beat it a second time. But, man.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Because there are a lot of games that I had a great time with, but no, the ending wasn't that great, or the, you know, finishing wasn't like completely epic or anything. Like XCOM, I loved playing through that, and you know, finishing was fine, but it was nothing special. Sleeping Dogs, I loved, but the ending wasn't anything special. I don't know.
I don't either. All right. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. So now this is where we... Well, let's plug, and then we can get into spoilers.
All right.
So, pixelatedsausage.com. On the Twitters, I'm at Chris3. The site is at PSausage, and the podcast is at Pixelated Radio. You should check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/pixelatedsausage. You can watch me kill Halo with a bazooka on there. It's fun times. I'll look to put more videos of me killing Halo in different ways. You should also check in the Sign In Podcast at signinpodcast.com, in which I forgot that Jeremy was also a Pug owner and a Pug fan. So he wasn't a fan either. But, you know, I didn't kill his pug, just your pug. That's why I need to have it updated where I type in Halo and that pug comes up. So we all know which pug I'm talking about. Also, the Pull List Podcast at pseudoradio.blogspot.com. The Two
Headed
Nerd.
He has a black pug, so.
Yeah, that's weird. Two Headed Nerd, Comicast at twoheadednerd.com. Undercover Unitards at whateverthefuck.com. And yeah, that's it.
On a serious note, real fast, before I get to my plugs, my condolences to Hotcakes Man. And
yes, my condolences. Thanks for nobody telling me anything.
I figured it was on Twitter. I figured you caught it. I don't know. I just figured you'd catch these things. No. But, yeah, she passed.
If something serious happens, fucking tell me. Don't expect me to stumble across it.
She passed away on Friday after being sick for a real long time. He did go back to Canada once to see her before she passed, and he was on his way back to Canada a second time when she passed. So that's pretty bittersweet.
Very sad to hear that. But especially this time of year.
Yeah.
It's sad what happened, you know, in that school and everything. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to start a discussion about gun control or anything, but just what happened is just, it's a horrible thing. And that's what it is, and that's all it is. That's as far as we go into that.
And plugs, Henderson Man, PSN, Xbox, Wii U. Look for me on Twitter, same thing, Henderson Man. So,
and
now
congrats to Lunchbox on getting his Vita.
Woo, Vita. So let's get into The Walking Dead. So this is going to be spoilers from here on out. If you haven't finished The Walking Dead, get the fuck off here because you don't want to fuck that up for yourself.
Yep.
So, did you run like to the last three chapters all at one time? Is that
pretty much like in 2 days? Like the start of like late one day and then finish it early the next. I really probably the first half of the third episode is my favorite. Sort of, I guess. I don't. The third episode I felt ran long, like after the train part, like when you get to the tanker or whatever. But like that still of the whole series has the moment I fucking hate more than anything, is when the woman with the asshole father
Lily.
Yeah, I was gonna. It is Lily. I thought that sounded way too wrong. That sounded like a little girl's name to me. I was like, it can't be Lily, right? But yeah, when she shot Carla,
God
right
damn,
in the head,
it still fucking pisses
I was
me
like,
off.
Fuck you, and you know. When we left, I just left her at the side of the road. And then I kind of felt bad after the fact because I'm like, well, you know, I would have, you know, I didn't leave Kenny, but then again, I didn't have the option. Because, so I just kind of felt bad. But in the heat of the moment, I just was like, fuck you. Get the fuck away from me. I don't want anything to do with you after what you just did. Because it was also like, you know, they were kind of being like, oh, chummy with each other, Lee and Carla. And I was just like, what the fuck, you bitch. And I fucking hate Ben throughout the whole thing, though I couldn't bring myself to like drop him later in the game.
Yeah, when it got to the Lily situation, I took her with me and she stole the fucking RV.
Great.
So that didn't happen to you?
No, because I left her on the side of the road. How is she going
to
steal it?
When you got to the train and you're trying to get the train working, she steals the RV and says she's getting the fuck away from you people. She takes the RV and leaves.
Yeah, I just left her. I was just, I could not, that what she did was the worst thing that happened in the game at that point. It's just...
And then really to find out Ben was responsible for it.
I had a feeling the whole time. I knew it had to be him.
Yeah, I knew it couldn't be Carly, but...
But then, like, it's just, I was just like, there were so many times where I just sort of wanted to kill him or leave him, and I never could bring myself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And, so,
then the third section, you know, you get the train going, you meet the two other people, which I can't think of their damn names right now.
Who knows? I can't remember their name either. I pushed him off the bridge.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if he was going to jump or not. So I'm just like, fuck this shit. I'm not waiting to push you off the damn thing.
And then, of course, does he fall off the train and hurt himself or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have to... I was afraid that I was going to lose one of them because of the way that was going on where you had to try to throw him up there or... Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was. There was like
they're running at the side of the train and you have to either, you know, help throw one in or, you know... But yeah. Either... For me, I took the woman... And then he still made it, so I don't know if they both make it regardless.
Right. So then the fourth part of the game, you come to a little city.
Yeah.
Fourth to me was more interesting than people gave it credit for.
Did not like it as a part of the story because it felt too comic-y to me with the female. She was way too action-y and like was able to do all these crazy things. It's written by Gary Whitta, and she almost felt like she could be Denzel Washington from Book of Eli with her little blade and just her little outfit and just all that.
See, I thought she was kind of cool.
I'm not saying she wasn't cool. I'm saying, like...
No,
looking at it by itself, it's, you know, it's perfectly fine. I had a lot of fun with that episode, but if I look at it from the whole thing, everything felt more grounded before that, but then you have this comic-y character who just seems to be able to do everything. It's like nothing phases her.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you find the house. There's a lot that goes on there, but I guess the most important thing that happens is, you know, you get into the town trying to find... I don't know what exactly what you're looking for. Oh, the boat.
You're looking for a boat.
And you meet that group of people that were the cancer survivors.
Yeah, you end up getting... whatever... The group gets away, but you end up having to go down the sewers.
Right.
And then you find this hole in the wall, and then you find all this food, and then you find this other group. And then one of the guys helps you, takes you back to back to the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have to find this equipment for a boat that was in the... Which was just so stupid. It's like, oh, conveniently this was in this... back shed the whole time. You had this perfect boat that just needs a new battery and some fuel.
Yeah. But so yeah, that goes down, and then the guy gets real creepy about the little girl and thinking that he can take care of her better and stuff. He can take better care of Clementine and just kinda creepy stuff going on there. I guess he had the best interest at heart. But basically then at the end of that chapter you're looking for Clementine, you go outside, find her hat, go in the alleyway, and get attacked by a zombie and get bit.
Get bit. I knew he got bit right away before it even showed because that was just like the way he reacted and everything.
At first,
I thought this was all like a dream because you didn't see anyone else in the house or anything. I'm like, this makes no sense. Where is everyone?
Mm-hmm.
But nope, it wasn't a dream. And then I told them about it. I didn't hide it.
I hit it the first, like, when they started coming up, it said, pull down your sleeve. So I pulled down my sleeve because I'm like, oh, God, they're going to try to kill me. Kenny's going to freak the fuck out. And then eventually, like, when they asked again, I said I showed them. And so then at that point, it gets to the point where it goes through everybody, and you can either, basically how you've reacted to them throughout the whole game and what you say to them can determine if they follow you or not. And I told Kenny to fuck the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't come with me. Everybody else did.
They all came with me. I was just like, forget it, man. I'm not going to hold any grudges with anyone right now. I just got to get to Clementine. Did you, so the next big moment would be, did you or did you not chop your hand off?
I chopped my arm off.
Me too.
Yep. And I don't know what happened. I'm very interested to see what happens if you don't do that. But I mean, I guess it can't really change too much.
I would assume that it would probably just be the same. You just are more mobile.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have as much of an issue.
So, then you kind of go through and find out who took Clementine, which is nobody you've met anywhere in the game. It's just some.
Well, he's not. He's not nobody. He's the guy you
took the stuff from the car. Yeah.
Which in my game, I did not take it with, you know, we got it because the group took it, but me and Clementine chose not to take anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not care. And he had his wife's head in a bag.
Yeah, that was creepy. But, you know, that happens. Then you escape from there, basically. And you get down to an area. And
yeah, you learn that, like, the guts, the zombies ignore you if you're, like, covered in guts. So you cover little Clementine in guts. She doesn't like it. And then you walk through the place, and then, like, shit happens, and you, like, pass out. So she somehow dragged your big ass into this room and closed the door behind it.
Yeah. Basically, you gotta walk her through escaping, and you die, and she goes on, so...
I did not have her kill me. I would not let her do that to me.
No, I wouldn't either. Wait, did I have her kill me? Or did I kill myself?
I didn't kill myself. I just had, you know, I got handcuffed to that thing and just stood there. No, you didn't see me turn. You didn't see Lee turn. No, not me. But you didn't see him turn or anything. You see her look, and then it goes to the credits, and then there's an after the credits part where you have her, like, in this field by, like, a park bench type of picnic table thing.
Are you fucking kidding? I hit skip the credits because I thought it would show that. Show something.
Well, if there is...
Oh, fucking hell. So what's it show?
Well, it was really just like she's, you know, in this field. She gets to, like, there's like a tree and like a picnic table kind of thing. And then she sees two people off in the distance. And then I think they see that she's there. And then she sort of like just gets a little freaked out. And then it just ends. And I'm not sure if those are supposed to be. I don't think they're supposed to be the two people. But I don't know. Mm. It doesn't really say much. It would be super interesting if this next season you actually played as Clementine, if you played as a little girl.
Well, that's I think's going
to
happen.
I would love that because I want, like, that was what I wanted out of The Last of Us. I wanted to play as Ellie. I don't want to play as a guy.
Would you be able to make the adult decisions as a child? Would it make sense?
It would be very tough to do. I think it would be tougher to do in a game like this than in, like, The Last of Us.
Now, am I correct? And when you got to the hotel, outside the hotel, though, you did find her parents, zombies. Was that?
That's what she saw. And like she, yeah, and I think she even said it. Like, you know, I saw my parents. I'm like, I know. I told her because you could tell that the way she reacted to that woman that she saw.
All right. So I didn't get emotional like everybody else.
I didn't either. I mean, it was sad, but I've never gotten emotional by a game. Ever. I don't know if I just have some kind of disconnect that I can't get over.
The ending there felt forced. I think they tried to force you to be sad, and it just kind of deleted the whole thing for me there. But
yeah. I don't know. It's pretty good overall.
Wow, fucking, this is the longest podcast we've done in a while.
I fucking hate that Ben asshole. I probably hate Ben more than Kenny.
He was just a dumb kid.
I don't care. He's a jackass.
He's just a dumb kid, and I felt sorry for him.
I didn't feel sorry for him because it's part of the problem on the writing end that they kept making him do stupid things. It's like, okay, you shouldn't just pigeonhole every stupid thing into this kid just because you want to be like, oh, he is a dumb kid, so he's going to do every stupid thing. He took the axe out of the door, and nothing came in while he had the axe, but when you realize where he took it from, then they all barge through conveniently. When you're all looking, you're like, where'd you get that from?
But I think that's going to be it for the show, then.
That is it for the show. That was a very, sporadic spoiler talk about it. because we just decided to go from the third on. We didn't give a shit about the first parts of the...
Well, we'd already talked a little bit about the first
one. I don't know if we ever really talked in depth about, like, our decisions or anything.
We talked about the end of the second one, because I remember that we did another spoiler at the end of the show, and you hadn't played any since the second one, so...
We just... I think, like, most people do, like, you know, the same things. Most people pick Carla.
Carly.
Whatever. I did start
Christy and Amir. Isn't that the other two people?
Sure. I did start the second episode again just so I could get the first two achievement things because I never got them.
Yeah.
And I did get them right away and I was happy to get them because if I didn't get those, I probably wasn't going to play through it because that still pissed me off.
Yeah, I need to go back and get those last.
I was glad that they were like the first two you get basically, so you don't have to play through a lot of it.
I have to play through that whole freaking half of that again because I think I missed four of those achievements.
Socks to you.
Anyway, guys, that's gonna be it. I gotta get ready to go to the store so I can go see The Hobbit. So,
all right, enjoy that stupid movie.
If you, no.
You. Motherfucker.
Well, damn, it's like, you're like, what? I'm like, my Skype wasn't turned on. Didn't hear nothing. I'm like, damn, was he ever going to get, is he going to get back to you? Like, are we going to do this?
Yeah, I gotta pee, bitch. Man. I got to pee.
Gotta get that pee out of here.
Damn right. I pee all the time.
You should either stop drinking or check for diabetes.
I've been checked for diabetes. Nothing.
Good.
I'll probably have prostate cancer real young. And just then forever drip, drip, drip in my pants and have to wear a little tampon for man.
You know what helps with prostate cancer, right? Masturbation. That's what they say.
I've never heard that.
Twice a week. Keeps prostate cancer away.
So you really, really try to you just go at it twice an hour. You're like, I can't.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, I cannot have prostate cancer every hour, twice every hour. It's like taking 8 aspirin in an hour. It must be better, right?
Yeah, maybe. All right, do the voice checks. Kush.
Hello.
Rob. Yeah. Alright.
Yeah. Cool. You forgot about yourself, didn't you?
Well, somebody sent me a message on Facebook and I was trying to read that at the same time, so yeah. I'm good.
Alrighty.